Well, God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We're teaching through the book of Hebrews. And the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews has many things to say of Jesus Christ. And I want to get right into it this morning by quick review. In the opening, it says that in times past, in diverse manners, God spoke to the fathers through the prophets, but has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And God goes on to describe those seven wonderful things said of Christ, who is heir of all things, by whom also the worlds were made, who is the outraying, the light of his glory, the express image of his person, who holds all things together by the word of his power, who by himself purged our sins. I'm not going to go back and exegete that. Go back and listen for yourself if you don't remember. Who by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And then he goes on, in my home, I have a first edition leaf from a 1611 King James Bible on this very opening chapter of Hebrews. The headline on that page says, Christ above the angels. And that is the rest of the description of chapter 1. In chapter 2, he's called the captain of our salvation. That is first goer. That is the first fruits of the resurrection, the one who is going to lead many into eternal life. In the opening of the third chapter, it says we are to consider, and we attempted to open up the meaning of that word, to consider the apostle, the one God sent to us, and high priest, the one who now is sent from us as representative of us to God, which is Christ Jesus, who is described as being faithful to him, that is, to God who appointed him. We went to John 17, wherein Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Christianity is called all kinds of things. I'm sorry for that. many of which are true, a lot of which are not true. That's why at God School, we stay as close as we can to the scriptures. There is a passage in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John the scene is Jesus had just done miracles, walking on the water, and he had fed 5,000 men, multiply that by women and children, and a discussion comes on later. The 27th verse of the 6th chapter says, work not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man, that is Jesus Christ, shall give unto you, for him has God the Father sealed. And those who heard Jesus said, then said they unto him, that is Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. King James says, that ye may believe on him whom he has sent. I've said this before. Sometimes the pronouns in the scriptures drive me nuts. Let me put it this way. This is the work of God, that you and me, might faith, not believe, faith on him, that is Jesus, whom he, that is God, has sent. Whom God has sealed, whom God has appointed. As Moses was in all his house. For this, and man is in italics here, speaking of Christ Jesus, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who has builded the house has more honor than the house. Remember that word, house. More honor than the house. For every house is builded by some, but he that built all things, God. And Moses truly was faithful in all his house as a servant. For a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as Son, and if you're reading along with me in your Bibles, underline the next word. But Christ as Son over his own house. Whose house are we? Now, this is saying we are the house of God. It says there's a condition. If we hold fast the confidence, that is, we've said it before, speaking freely with all bold outspokenness and rejoicing, the word here is boasting, of the hope firm unto the end. You know what? Want to know what a Christian is? A Christian is the house of God. Ephesians. Stay with me as I'm turning the pages. Second chapter. I was going to go to the 22nd, but I will start with the 21st. Whew. Wow. Let's go with the 20th. Let's go to the 19th. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, that is, the committed ones, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Oh, there's so many messages along the way. I have a point, folks. Stay with me. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. I love that word groweth because, you know, it's a sign of, or a word indicating progress. It's like that word salvation. It is a paradox. It is a finished product. At the same time, it is a process. All the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. In the third chapter, it says that in the 17th verse, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. The word in the Greek is kataokio. When, and I'm learning along with you folks, I've said this though before, when you want to make something temporary, permanent, you add this preposition in the Greek, kata. And the word, God knows what He has given his inspired writers to write, and he uses this word, kata okyo, and it means to permanently dwell. To dwell permanently. How? By faith. But Christ, as Son over his own house, First Timothy 3:15 says, Paul speaking to one of his disciples, but if I tarry long, that thou may knowest how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Got a lot of scriptures, folks. Rather than taking notes, my hope is that you listen to all that is being said from God's word today and absorb it. Son, Christ, Son over his own house. I want to go to Luke 14. There's a parable. Jesus speaking. He said in the beginning in the 16th verse, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I have to go prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. That sounds like a good reason to me. So that servant came and showed his lord all these things. Then the master of the house, the word in the Greek is oikodespoutein. It's two words. It's the first, oiko, same kin as this word found in Ephesians 3:17, oiko, oikos, house, permanent dwelling in 3:17. This word in Luke 14, oikos despotein, from which we get our word despot. Now, you know, today, that word despot is, you know, a very negative word. It comes with all kinds of negative connotations. But the essence of it is absolute, absolute ruler. And you can find this word, oikodespotein, I think it's about 12 other times in the Gospels. And it speaks of the Lord. And they called Jesus Kyrios, Lord, Master, to expand the understanding of the word oikodespotein, absolute ruler. Then the oikodespotein, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the hither, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Want to make a couple of points. Christ as son over his own house absolute ruler of the house. Despot. He has the final word. In the book of Revelation, Jesus calls himself the Alpha and Omega, the last word. He has the last word. If you've listened before to some of these messages, some of you know that I've been going through some physical trials. I want to tell you, I've been getting better. I've been getting better. But I've been going through it not quite like anything I've gone through before, I have to tell you. And, you know, it's caused me to dig more, to dig deeper into God's Word. And you know, I've been trusting in the name of the Lord, Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Better translation, I'm the Lord thy surgeon. All the promises of healing contained in that which Christ did for us on Calvary by giving it his life. And the benefits thereof, that by his stripes were healed, and a myriad of other promises. But I've been spending a lot of time in 2 Corinthians, verse 12. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians 12. Where, you know, Paul speaks of visions and knew a man caught up unto the third heaven. His relationship by Christ and with Christ, he says, is something else that some of the things that he had in these visions that it's not even lawful for him to talk about. And, you know, says that if he stayed in all these, how's he say? He says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, I'm telling you, the more you dig into the Word of God, the more alive it becomes, the more Christ, who said of the Scriptures, they are they which speak of me. We could become exalted above measure. Paul says, lest he become exalted above measure, there was given unto him, given unto me, he says, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. We're not in heaven yet, folks, where God shall not only give his grace, but glory to us, where we are going to be exalted, but we're not there yet. Paul had, you know, there are books and books and books and sermons, written about and spoken about this messenger of Satan and what form it took in buffeting Paul, I would tell you it's exactly what Paul says. A thorn in his flesh. Well, I've had a thorn in my flesh, and I've sought the Lord. That it might depart from me. And the ninth verse says, and he said unto me, that is Jesus. It's interesting. I have one little Bible done in that, what's called the red letter, wherever the words of Christ are written down, it's put in red letter. And the only time that you'll find any red letter in the epistles of the Apostle Paul is right here in this one little statement in the ninth verse of the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And Jesus said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. The word translated strength is dunamis. Power is what's being said here. My power is made complete in weakness. And Paul gives the response to Jesus' words. He says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather, King James says, glory. Man, you could get so confused by these translators trying to, you know, never use the same word twice, always wanting to find synonyms. This word is that same word, kokomenos. Boast. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest. Upon me. The Greek word being translated rest is episkenuo, and it means to fix a tent or habitation on, to take possession of and live in the houses of the citizens. Of the power of Christ descending upon me, working within of the power of Christ descending upon one and working within him or her and giving him or her help. But Christ as Son over his own house, whose house we are. These words are all related. Paul goes on to say, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I made dunamis, powerful. But he goes on to say, I'm become a fool in glorying and boasting. You've compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. You know, we don't hear about Jesus removing this messenger of Satan that came and buffeted Paul, that he sought the Lord, Kyrios, the Lord, three times. We get Jesus' response, the only words quoted by Jesus in all of Paul's writings, my grace is sufficient for thee. Why am I dwelling on this? Because, you know, as a result of this infirmity that I've been suffering, as I've said, I've been digging into the Word of God. Paul prayed to the Lord, Kyrios, that he would remove it. We have no message that he would remove it. For these many years, I have been teaching about faith, about that faith is acting on all the promises of God. I have said and taught on the benefits of faith. I've said in the past that our job is to faith, the results are in God's hands. I've trusted in the Lord. You know, I've been through problems before. They haven't lasted this long. But in this understanding of Christ as Son over his own house, whose house we are, and the use of this word okodespotein, what should be understood here is the sovereignty of God. Oh, and probably if I were to teach on that till Jesus comes, I probably wouldn't get all said that could be said. But through this infirmity and the continued digging into God's word, kindness certainly by His grace, it has not driven me from God, but driven me further into God. I'm not here to testify of myself. I'm here to testify of God. We have, and trust me, I am part of what I'm about to say. In the Christian church, we have oftentimes become too familiar with God. And that old expression, familiarity breeds contempt. Well, not necessarily so with God, yet there is this understanding. He has made all these promises to us, as I have said in times past, there's over 8,000 promises of God to us, any one of which, if we will grab hold of and make ours, God calls that faith, He calls that saving faith. And whether we see the manifestation of the promise in our life or not, that depends on the sovereignty of God. In that opening book of the Bible, Genesis, we read of Adam and Eve that God gave them charge over every living thing. Only He put a tree in the midst of the garden and told them, ye shall not eat of the fruit of this tree. Why did He do that? Even though He walked and talked with them in the day and was very familiar with them, there was still that which God wanted to communicate to His creation, that though He had given them everything, there was still a difference. He was God and they were not. He was supreme, and they were not. He, Jesus Christ, is our Lord. We are not Lord over Him. I say this, that when we find ourselves in circumstance that seems to defy or deny the promises of God, and I'm being taught this even as I am teaching you, that Christ, as son over his own house, whose house we are, is still oikodespotein. He is the one with the last word. And he said, my grace, my unmerited favor and in this respect, if we go back to Ephesians, the second chapter, it says, by grace are ye saved through faith. What then can we say of grace? It is a, and it goes on to say, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Our gift of faith is God's grace, wherein we keep speaking freely and boasting of the hope firm unto the end. The 14th verse says, we are partakers. The word in the Greek is a sharer or a partner. A sharer, a partner, associate. We taught recently two words, meta, exo. Meta means with change afterward, exo, to have a change due to sharing from being, comes from being an active partaker with, for we are made active partakers with and of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. This word, confidence, is hypostasis. It's not the same bold out speaking, speaking freely in the sixth verse. This is hypostasis, the title deed. How did you start with Christ? By an act of faith. If we hold, grab hold, the beginning of our title deed, that which we have through Christ Jesus, wherein Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. How did you begin? With an act of faith. How do we in by continuing to steadfastly grab hold of that hypostasis, that title deed, that which gives us a right to the possession of all the promises that we have in Christ from God. That which Paul tells us, that mystery which had been kept from the beginnings of the world, which is now revealed, that in the Colossian letter says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're not talking about what Jesus can do for us here and now. He gives us a plethora of his promises which do comfort us here and now. But that glory that he has planned is that which is going to come in the ages to come, that, as the Ephesian letter continues, that God might show us off to the eons which are going to follow, show his power in those who trust him. Jesus Christ is Lord. He, as described earlier, as the high priest, he carries his burdens, our burdens, on his shoulders. He, it says in other places, that has been touched with all our infirmities. Take confidence in this. He is Lord. He is sovereign. Not all that we pray for is going to be manifest, because oftentimes, as it says in the 8th chapter of Romans, we pray not as we ought, but with the help of the Holy Ghost, he helps our infirmities. How's that? We are a habitation of God through his Holy Spirit. Put not your confidence in the results down here. We are not to judge eternity by temporal things, but by, as it says, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And his last words to Paul are, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect, made complete in weakness. Have confidence, folks. in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is Son over His own house. Whose house we are. That's talking about the church. I ended with these words of Paul, found in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. For I am persuaded. This is a derivative of the word faith. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He holds all things together by the power of His word. He'll make it come out His way. Sure, we can have hope in the promises of God that He'll remove this infirmity and provide for that necessity and all the other things that He has spoken about with regard to life in this flesh to His children. But if we see not these things come about, we are still, or we are to have in our focus, not only all His benefits to us, but also that He is Lord of us. He will have the final word, and nothing, as Paul says, shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus, our Lord. In spite of unseen results, hold fast to that confidence of the hope that we have in our Lord. Master, oikodespotein, the one who's in control and will have the last word. He has called us. He has chosen us. And faithful is He who will also do it. Amen. And that's the God School for today.